Fiji has held its first democratic election in 8 years, but the result was almost certain before people went to the polls that the Fiji First Party of the former military leader, Frank Bainimarama, has won. With more than half the vote counted, Bainimarama's Fiji First Party has polled just over 60%. The nearest rival, the Social Democratic Liberal Party of SODELPA, is on 26.7%, and the National Federation Party was the best of the other five. It had about 5%. Professor Wadan Nase is an independent economist and Fijian political commentator. He joins us from Suva this morning. Professor Nase, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning. Yes.
Little doubt, it would seem now, that Fiji First and Frank Bainimarama have won this election. And it also looks, does it, that the party can rule in its own right? Is that how you read this?
Yes, they've got absolute majority. And it looks as if they will probably get around about 30 seats, you know, out of the 50. So they don't need to do a coalition at all.
And is that a surprise, that clear majority?
I think to many of us, it is a bit of a surprise because it indicates that not only have they managed to get a very large percentage of Indo-Fijian votes, which is what was expected, but they've also got a reasonable proportion of indigenous Fijian votes.
And let's talk about why. As you say, since that coup in 2006, Frank Bainimarama said one of the motivations in taking the coup was to give equal rights to Indo-Fijians. So it's no surprise that they did vote for him. But how strong was their support? Is there any breakdown?
Well, that's not strictly correct. I mean, when he did the coup, he said it was to eliminate, it was because of the widespread electoral fraud and to eliminate corruption. I think, you know, it was 4 or 5 years later that, you know, the reasoning changed to that he wanted to give equal rights to Indo-Fijians.
Mm-hmm.
That has definitely played some part in it. But possibly far more important has been that in the last year or so, just before with the election around the corner, his government decided that they were going to deliver lots of goodies to the public. So we've had this freeing up of education, which had been begun by previous parties, but, you know, he completed it right up to tertiary level so that all children who qualify for tertiary institutions either get scholarships or they're able to get loans. And that has been a very, very big factor, I think, in Indo-Fijian thinking. And then in their manifesto, just released a month ago, they have promised basically free electricity and free water to low-income families. They're also giving out grants for first home buyers. They're also giving very large grants to indigenous landowners to develop their lands. So, in effect, I mean, the voters have been very strongly influenced by what are the good things that can happen to them to improve their standards of living.
Yes, that's a long list of election sweeteners, but there's also sounds like some pretty, no wonder those many of those policies are popular. Some of them sound like very positive policies for the nation.
Well, some of them are positive. I mean, on education, I think any good government, you know, would have done that, and many other governments previously were moving towards that. And ironically, quite a few of these progressive governments were removed by coups, by the military. So, yes, I mean, the voters have decided that the bread and butter issues are far more important for them than the bigger picture, you know, which is, you know, what may be of interest to intellectuals and others who are concerned about good governance issues and constitutionality and law and order. Mm.
It's 5 to 7 on Breakfast. Our guest is Professor Wadan Nase, an independent Fijian economist and political commentator from Suva. Well, just on that, because the so-called interim government has really ruled by decree since the coup in 2006, and the constitutional issues, I mean, the government cracked down on the media have been chucked out, media operations have been closed down, the judiciary has been ignored, trade union, other restrictions imposed under the regime.
Yes.
In the end, people don't care? Are they voting with the strength? Or?
Well, I think this exactly, you summarized it very, very well. I mean, all those things, you know, in many other governments, you know, would have led to a government being thrown out. But Fiji looks as if we are, you know, still very much a typical third world country. I think, in effect, what he has done, Bainimarama, is to replicate what Rambuka did, you know, after the 87 coup.
Mm.
You know, coup leader becomes an elected prime minister, and he, you know, brings in progressive policies. In Rambuka's case, it was bringing in a Pence's constitution, whereas Benimaram, of course, has just simply imposed his constitution on the people without any parliament approving it or without any people's assembly.
On that front, do you think that now Benimaram appears to have been democratically elected, he will restrict some of those, relax some of those restrictions on the courts, on the media generally in Fiji?
Well, I would expect that, you know, with a parliament in place and there is going to be an opposition there in parliament, I think there will be a more accountable government. You know, he won't be able to do what he's done for 8 years. People will be able to raise questions in parliament and, you know, answers will have to be provided. I think what is going to be good for Fiji is, well, firstly, there is going to be a resurgence of investor confidence in the country, and I would expect that the rate of economic growth, which has moved up above 3% in the last 2-3 years, it will continue for the next 4 years and might be much higher than that.
And Professor, can I just ask you finally, some commentary suggesting the international community was so eager to reward Fiji for holding the election that it was prepared to overlook how Benimaram gained power and held on to power.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think that for our traditional partners in the Pacific, you know, and particularly Australia, New Zealand and United States, I think they have been extremely keen to reestablish the normal relations with Fiji. And then largely, I think it's possibly a result of their fear of China's considerably enhanced influence in Fiji and the other countries in the Pacific. So they will be very, very happy that we now have a legitimately elected government, and whatever may have been the problems with the electoral system, and these are clearly engineered, you know, to suit the Benimaram government's election strategy, where voters have simply voted for one person and one number rather than, you know, a raft of candidates. So, but you know, for the donor countries, they will want to, they'll be very, very happy to reestablish all the old normal relations.
Yes.
And that is going to, of course, give a lot of confidence as well to Australia and New Zealand. I mean, the problems still remain. I mean, there are quite a few decrees which have taken cases out of the ambit of the judiciary, and it is very worrying to all investors, as it is to civil society organizations, that you don't have a separation of the judiciary and the executive.
Absolutely. Professor, we do need to leave it there. We're nearly at the clock, but thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Professor Wadan Naze, an independent Fijian economist and political commentator, and those elections half counted, Fiji first, the clear winner.